Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Top of the arc, Brady Eifert, 12 to shoot, holding at the right hip, into Harms. Harms slams it. Slip back door. He caught it and threw it down, and Purdue's up 7 with 1:32 remaining.
Westwood won yesterday as the Purdue Boilermakers beat Tennessee and knocked the Volunteers out of the tournament. One time this year, Volunteers are number one team in the nation, and they are done in the Sweet 16 for Rick Barnes, and going home to Rocky Top without a chance to make it to Minneapolis. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You should know that the Sweet 16 games tonight will be on our sister station, 1380 WAOK, which is coverage they wheel around, Westwood One does, between all four games as they cross over each other. And that'll be on 1380 WAOK because we have the Hawks and the Blazers tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from State Farm Arena, with the pregame at 7 o'clock, tip at 7:30 between Damian Lillard and Trae Young. Should be an interesting game tonight as Hawks go for four in a row. We are reacting, of course, to the Braves all day long, but we're also talking about the Sweet 16. If there is, Hugh, has this been a great tournament? Because I don't think so. I think it's been kind of eh.
Because you are a fan of the drama.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as far as this is the tournament that basically is what everybody thought it was going to be. It's been chalk for the most part. It's been mostly chalk. I think the most drama that we had last night was for you, it was the Tennessee-Purdue game.
Sure.
For me, it was probably the Gonzaga-Florida State game because of the fact that, you know, they both played pretty good defense. And, you know, Gonzaga just kind of ran away with it. But that was a pretty good game to me. I think it's been exactly what we thought it was going to be totally honest, John.
Well, we'll get a chance to see, you know, with the two of the elite game, eight games already kind of set here. There are a couple of Cinderellas out there. If for no other reason, Cinderella is a relative term. We don't have, you know, a Loyola. And Gonzaga is no longer, we all understand what Gonzaga is. Gonzaga may play in the West Coast Conference, which they do. But Gonzaga is not, and they're a mid-major, but they are not a Cinderella. Of course not.
No, they've been there four straight times or something like that.
They are a powerhouse, and they've been a powerhouse program for 20 years.
Yeah, they've been balling for a while.
I mean, a long, long time, before Mark Few was even the head coach. When Mark Few was an assistant, he's been doing it for a long time, in the Monson years. But Gonzaga's not a Cinderella.
Is it Gonzaga? Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. They're the Zags.
Okay.
Not the Zags. Zags.
Yeah, Zaga.
Yeah, they're the Zags, not the Zogs. So people say Gonzaga, and you go, okay.
They get mad.
Yeah, they get mad. And the way to know is they're not the Zogs. They're the Zags. Gonzaga. So Gonzaga wins last night, beating Florida State 72-58. But there are a couple of teams that, while not Cinderellas, they're somewhat surprises, and Purdue is one of them, or is my... As my in-laws, John and Sue, and my wonderful wife, Tammy, the Maven, say, Purhu, because they're, you know, arch rivals.
That was kind of terrible.
But yeah. But Purhu is doing a number. Look, this is a team that was picked to finish ninth or tenth in the Big Ten, that they had one player. Oh, and the Carson Edwards is a player. And that was it. You know, they didn't have anybody else. They had one guy. And so they go, okay, they got one guy, but you're not going to, in the Big Ten, you're not going anywhere with one guy. Well, I guess they got more than one guy because Klein was great yesterday. Harms has been really good all year long. And Carson Edwards has been close to MVP of this tournament. And this is a Purdue team. If you think about the Big Ten, you would have said Michigan, Michigan State, you know. Purdue was not on that wasn't coming out. That was not Wisconsin, Indiana, not Purdue, Maryland, not Purdue. But look at where Purdue is on the edge of the Final Four,
yeah,
possibly.
And I would be curious to know how many people – on their bracket had Purdue going this far. You know, you talk about one of the teams that has probably flown under the radar. I would probably venture to say that Purdue was one of those squads. I can't imagine that many people had Purdue being an Elite Eight at this point. I can't see that.
Unless you're a Purdue fan.
Yeah, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I didn't. I certainly didn't have Purdue going this deep. I didn't expect them to. I take that back. I had them playing Tennessee yesterday but losing that game. And maybe they should have lost. There was a questionable call at the end of the regulation where Lamonte Turner fouled Carson Edwards when Purdue was down two, and Edwards took a three to win from the corner with under 2 seconds to go. Got the shot off. There was no contact, but as Edwards was coming down after he released the ball, Turner bumped him. If Turner doesn't touch him, Tennessee wins.
Yeah, but this is the way it was explained to me, that he bumped a three-point shooter, and that's where the foul came in. Even though it was, you know, the shot was off, he still, like, coming down, he bumped the three-point shooter, and that's what happened.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. I mean, by the letter of the law, that's a foul, but that was kind of my thing here, was let's say you're in the lane. You take a little jump hook in the lane. The ball is free. You're coming down, and you're being defended. Somebody tries to block it. They don't get it. There's no foul, and they're coming down, and they kind of bump you. Is anybody going to call a foul on that?
In the tournament game?
Yes. No, in any game.
If you're an active shooter shooting a three and somebody bumps you?
No, not a three. I'm saying you're in the lane shooting a little jump hook.
Yeah, but that's different with a three-pointer, though.
But why? I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Because that's
me.
The rules, John. That's the rules.
No,
I didn't
sense.
Make up the rules. That's the rules.
So a three-point shooter, you can't bump after they release the ball, but somebody in the lane, you can?
Because I'm assuming that's because
they
get hurt, I guess.
I don't know.
I guess in the paint, it's a little bit more physical in the paint.
And he didn't barely touch him. I mean, he just bumped him a little bit. I mean, if that had been a non-call, I would have said, yeah, well, of course it's a non-call. But it was, because if it's a non-call, Tennessee wins. Now, again, Tennessee was, you know, architect of their own demise. They were way, way, way behind in the game. They started so poorly in the game. They had to roar way back, and they finally did, and they got it in overtime, and then they kind of, in overtime. And that was probably bound to happen with this Tennessee team. For this Tennessee team that we saw all year long, you know, great players, obviously, with Turner and Schofield everybody on the team, Williams. I mean, this is a good, you know, Rick Barnes had a good team. He had a team, again, ranked number one in the nation. But at times they would fade into oblivion. They did it in the second half. They almost lost to Iowa. They almost got beat by two Big Ten teams, mid-level Big Ten teams, back-to-back.
Yeah, and that just goes to show you, in the tournament now, it's all about matchups, especially when you get this tight, when you get these close seedings. It's all about the matchups.
Now, Texas Tech beat Michigan 63-44. Michigan was just awful, awful, awful. Now, Texas Tech's defense has something to do with that.
Lockdown defense, didn't it?
I mean, Teske was terrible. Where were you, Jordan Poole? 1 for 19 beyond the arc. 1 for 19. Well, that's going to lose you a lot of games, John Beilein. And it lost you a big game by 19 points. Now, credit Texas Tech's defense. And again, I'm telling you, Jarrett Culver, you got to watch him if you're a Hawks fan, because his name has been floating around. I'm not saying that Travis is going to take him, that Travis Schlenk will take him, but Jarrett Culver's a name that's right in that 5-6 mix of Texas Tech's shooting guard, and you might want to just pay attention to him, because if all of a sudden we get to NBA draft day and it's the Atlanta Hawks select Jarrett Culver, shooting guard, Texas Tech,
then we'll know a little something about him. Yeah, we'll know something about him. Because by that time, we're going to get all the draft pundits and analysis that we possibly can, and they're going to speculate on who's going to be there when the Hawks are actually drafted, when we figure out where's the ping pong ball situation going
to
be.
One of the ACC teams is through to the Elite Eight. That's Virginia. You know, they beat Oregon last night. It was kind of an ugly game, 53-49. But Virginia has managed to, you know, kind of bury some of the ghosts of last year with the UMBC thing, and they get back into the Elite Eight. And if Virginia can win on Saturday when they take on Purdue, then Virginia will be into the Final Four.
That's going to be a good game.
Yeah, Virginia-Purdue.
That's going to be a real good game.
Yeah, the lockdown defense of Virginia against the Carson Edwards and the three-point shooters at Purdue.
Yeah. That's when you see, like, you saw that last night against Gonzaga and Florida State when it got a little testy, because it was tight. In that first half, it was real tight.
Mm-hmm. And so Gonzaga will get Texas Tech in the Elite Eight tomorrow. And so we could see, you know, a couple of number ones go through to the Final Four. We could have all four number ones still possibly in the Final Four. And that's only happened once before, I believe, in 2008.
That's the year, yes. That is true. I remember us talking about that. Yes, that is true.
And, of course, that would require Duke winning tonight, of course, and advancing along in North Carolina doing the same.
So, wait a minute. Who did we think was going to be the Gonzaga we thought was going to be the upset last night?
Yeah, that's what everybody said here.
Everybody was saying that the Gonzaga is going to be the upset.
And it turns out that Purdue was the
upset. Is it possible that we could see Duke get upset tonight? You think so?
No, I don't. Again, Virginia Tech did beat Duke in the regular season. Virginia Tech can shoot the three. There's no question about that.
But they
didn't have Zion at the time.
The Blue Devils cannot shoot the three.
See, and I'm a believer in this. If you go back and look, Hugh, in the course of history, every national champion, at some point in the six games that you have to win the tournament, every national champion has a game where it can go either way. Florida had a game against Butler when they had the Joakim Noah team, Al Horford team. Mm-hmm. They could have gone either way. And so you had that last second kind of game. And when that's why I asked the question the other day when we were talking to Clark Kellogg about when the ball rolled off the rim, when Aubrey Dawkins missed that shot, the second tip, and rolled off the rim for UCF, did Duke win the national title? And he said, no. And I was thinking in my mind, I think that might have been the moment that you could have gotten Duke.
Their watershed moment.
Yeah, and if you didn't get him then, you may not get him.
Yeah, but what you just said, though, John, Virginia Tech can shoot the three.
Yeah.
Duke is not a great three-point shooting team, and that at times has gotten them in trouble. So if you're in a game where, say, Virginia Tech is hot from the three-point arc.
Oh, no, anything can happen.
Yeah, these matchups are so close. Yeah.
You know, anything can happen. LSU, Michigan State tonight at 7 o'clock. We're talking about the Sweet 16. And the second half, we're down to 12 teams. We started with 68. 56 of them have gone home. 12 teams remain in the hunt for the national title tonight, the second half of the Sweet 16. And, of course, Saturday and Sunday, the Elite Eight. And the next time we talk to you on Monday morning, we will have the Final Four set.
Boom.
For Minneapolis. LSU, Michigan State kicks off at – kicks off. Tips off at 7:09. Well, it'd be a good football game too, wouldn't it? LSU, Michigan State, 7:09 p.m. Between those two, three SEC teams playing tonight, three ACC teams playing tonight. The outliers are Michigan State and Houston. LSU against Michigan State, 7:09 p.m. And again, these games on WAOK 1380, our sister station. Auburn, North Carolina, 7:29 p.m. The late games, Virginia Tech, Duke at 9:39, and Houston, Kentucky at 9:59, which might be the most interesting matchup of the night on paper. Because I'm really curious. Houston, Kentucky, that this could be interesting. If P.J. Williams doesn't play for Kentucky, this could be really interesting.
And that's the thing.
They don't have a stopper?
We were talking about that and how Houston has a really good team, and this is a really bad matchup for Kentucky if he's not playing tonight. P.J.'s not playing tonight. Doesn't seem like he's going to play either. I don't think he's playing tonight. I don't think he's playing.
You know, you look at the Final Four possibilities. We could have all four number one seeds in there for the first time in 11 years, only the second time ever. We could also end up with a Final Four that is Purdue, Texas Tech, Auburn, and Houston. I mean, that could be a Final Four. Purdue, Texas Tech, Auburn, Houston. And if that ends up the Final Four, even though there's no Cinderella per se, because Auburn won the SEC tournament and Houston won its conference tournament, and, you know, Texas Tech, you know, and Purdue are obviously hot teams, aren't you going to say, what in good graces? You, if the Final Four is Purdue, Texas Tech, Auburn, and Houston, and it's possible that it is, it's probably not going to be, but it's possible because there are only 12 teams left.
I think the biggest surprise would be obviously Purdue. I think that would be the biggest surprise, but everybody outside of that, I think it's chalk, basically. Because we all had, I think at this point, it's kind of playing out outside of the games tonight, which haven't been playing yet. I think it's kind of playing out the way that most brackets are set up so far.
Yeah, I would say the only game last night that didn't play out the way everybody thought was Purdue. Tonight, LSU, Michigan State, I think that game is a toss-up. You know, LSU's been playing inspired basketball despite everything that's happened to them with Will Wade and all of the discussions there. And Michigan State, you know, has overcome two serious injuries that they had to deal with all season in Lankford and Ward. And yet, Tom Izzo, screaming at his players and all, right back here. And look, if Mike Krzyzewski is the best coach of college basketball, Tom Izzo and Jay Wright are vying for number two.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, he, like you said, for him to get that kind of heat that he got last week for yelling at his players, for him to be in this situation, that says a lot about him and the way that his coaching style, that kids do not have a problem with.
Mm-hmm. And don't give me a Roy Williams or John Calipari. I know that a lot of great coaches of college basketball. Auburn against North Carolina, it'll be an interesting game tonight. North Carolina playing at the level they're playing at. Everybody talking about how hot they are, and they are. Did you discount how hot Auburn's been? Auburn is on a rip tear, this team. They are playing great basketball. And so if Auburn beats North Carolina tonight, everybody go, oh, I'm going to go, have you not been paying attention? You know, they are the SEC tournament champions. This team has ripped off a ton of wins in a row, big wins.
Speaking of that, John, how's your bracket doing?
It was doing good till last night.
I just looked at my standings. I moved up a little bit. I am 1,665th out of 2,038. That's not bad. I'm moving up.
You're 1,000. I'll check mine. You're 1,000. Mine got blown up last night because I had Tennessee. I had Tennessee in the championship.
I'm in the 15th percentile.
I am losing, but I had Tennessee in the championship game against Duke. So that pretty much almost kills me in terms of being able to we win our bracket contest. Not that we're eligible for the $1,000.
No, we won't win that money anyway.
We're not there.
I'm
anyway.
Just saying. I was just happy the fact that, you know, I moved up a little bit. Hey, progress.
Jacket 77 is the current leader, just ahead of Luis and Six Rings Bean and CTBDMD. That dude's been around for a while. He's had a pretty good tournament. He must have gone pretty chalk through the whole thing. Those are your leaders right now going into tonight in ours. I don't know what I have to find out what place I'm in. I'll have to look it up. I gotta log in here. So I'll do that in the break here. So, but anyway, nobody cares but me and you, obviously.
I got 40 points, though. I got 40 points. So 140
points. 140
points. Yeah, I'm pretty good. That's all right. I'll take that.
All right. Sounds good.
I mean, it's little wins in life, man. Little wins.
Atlanta United standing by to get back into action tomorrow night live on Sports Radio 92 on the game against the Crew in Columbus. But there's some news about Atlanta United you need to know right now. We'll tell you what that news is next with the technical director, Carlos Bocanegra. And it's not really good news on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
From Selection Sunday to the Big Dance, we cover it all because the NCAA plays here.
If I had described the playoffs in one word, the word would be precious.
Your home for March Madness is here.
For the win. Oh!
It's our exclusive coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Big weekend ahead, of course, Sweet 16 and Braves and whatnot. But also, let's say hello back to Atlanta United.
Yay.
The Five Stripes are back in action at Columbus in a game you can listen to on the flagship station of the Five Stripes Radio Network, Sports Radio 99 The Game. Mike and Jason will be calling the game from Columbus, Ohio, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30, first kick or kickoff for this game between one of the old nemesis, you.
The Crew.
One of the teams that we just struggle with for whatever reason. We welcome into the program technical director of Atlanta United, Carlos Bocanegra, who joins us this morning. Welcome to the show, Carlos. How you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Boca, how did you spend your downtime, man? Had a little bit of time off. What did you end up doing?
I went and got some sunshine and got to relax and try to reset a little bit. So it was very nice.
You know, we're talking about a number of things here. One of the things that we want to get into before the game is, you know, the state of the team in the international break. And Tito is on record as saying that he feels like this team is getting closer to playing like Atlanta United of last year. Do you get that sense?
Yeah, I think, like, everybody's always going to make comparisons. You know, internally, I think, you know, we don't want to make comparisons this year, last year, the year before. It's a new year. There's new players, new coach. No, and I think the biggest thing for us is getting back to that, you know, creating chances and being that high-flying, exciting team that Atlanta United is. And so, look, it's taken a little bit of time for us. We all know that. But this was a really welcome break for the whole group. And everybody had a chance to, you know, reset, refresh, get some downtime, get some away time. And even the guys that went on the international break, it's just a little change of scenery, change things up a little bit. So that came at a really good time for us.
That's good that guys got breaks and everything like that. But, Carlos, you got to be a little bit frustrated because now you're dealing with all these injuries. You're talking about Petey Martinez dealing with a hamstring. Florentine Pogba, he's dealing with a hamstring issue. Kevin Kratz. How do you deal with things like that when you're still in the mode of trying to get comfortable with everybody?
Yeah, well, that's a little bit part of it. You know, Franco Escobar is coming back to health. We've missed him. You know, George Bell has been on the sidelines for a few weeks. So, you know, some of the options have been limited, but the guys that get a chance, they have to come in and step up and play and prove themselves that they want to earn that spot and that, you know, they deserve to be out there on the field. So it creates competitiveness. It gives other guys a chance to show what they can do. And that's just, you know, that happens throughout the season. You have little nicks and bumps and injuries and suspensions and the team effort. And we've got to just keep going forward and not use that as any excuse at all.
Atlanta United Technical Director Carlos Bocanegra with John and Hugh ahead of the Five Stripes and Columbus Crew tomorrow night on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Since you mentioned the name, for having Franco Escobar back, you know, we almost forget how important, not almost, but some of us kind of forget how important he really was to this team in the playoffs and through all the way through to the championship. He was as vital a player as this team had, he played so well. It's got to be a thrill to have him back.
Yeah, you know, he just brings a certain energy and aggressiveness out there on the field. You know, and I think it just runs through the team. And, you know, he's one of those guys that people don't really talk about him as a leader, but he leads by example in his play. And like I said, with just, you know, he leaves everything on the field, every play after 90 minutes. So he's a welcome backer in and around the training sessions and out there on the field as well for the games.
We're talking about the five stripes here. Just a couple of things about the team. We mentioned Tito talking about getting back to form here. I'm not really sure I understand quite yet what his role on the team is. I mean, he's so vital to you in so many ways. Is that his value to you, is that he is kind of your offensive Swiss Army knife, for lack of a better term?
Swiss Army knife. I like that one. Yeah, look, you know, when we acquired Tito, we knew that he could play on the wings or he could play up top. And, you know, he's versatile. We've got quite a few guys that can play in multiple positions, you know, i.e. Julian Gressel. So Tito, whether he's starting, whether he comes off the bench, you know, he's a guy that as well brings energy. He has, you know, unbelievable pace, and he's electric. He can change a game in one play. So, like I said, you know, whether he comes off the bench, whether he starts, plays up top, plays on the wing, he's very useful to us in a lot of different ways. And, you know, that's why we feel he has so much value for the club.
Has any headway been made on the front of the Julian Gressel contract negotiations?
Yeah, we had some conversations with Julian. He's still got a couple of years left. He's got a year after this. So there's no rush. And I think the good thing is, you know, he's a big boy. He understands how this thing works. We had some conversations at the beginning of the year. You know, we put him on the shelf and we'll pick him back up here in the summertime or so. And but there's no rush on anyone's side. So that's a good thing.
So we discussed the team as they get back to action with the game on Saturday night, tomorrow night against the Columbus Crew. I want to go back to the front line tomorrow because Petey's injury will be, Tito has mentioned, Joseph Corse's striker. Ezekiel Barco, can you tell me about how you've seen, because we've seen, at least I think I've seen him finally start to show the form that, you know, caused you to be able to, you know, spend so much money to get him here in the first place. Are you seeing his, am I wrong, or are you seeing his game grow?
No, I think you're right. And I think what people forget is he's still 19 years old. You know, he came with a big price tag, so I think there's almost a target on his back or a lot of weight on his shoulders. And he's starting to settle into his game and really into the country. You know, obviously not speaking the language is a completely different culture. You know, if you had to go live in Argentina at 19 years old, I'm sure there's some big challenges for you, right? So now he's been more acclimatized. He's getting used to the culture, and you start to see him really finding his groove and being able to go out there and play without all the other distractions.
So getting to the matchup tomorrow night, the Columbus Crew, what are some of the things I need to look for as a soccer fan to watch out for in that game, in that match?
Yeah, so, you know, their center midfield partnership of Will Trapp and Arthur are very good. You know, that's going to be something that we need to make sure we step up and shut those guys down. Will Trapp does a good job of getting on the ball and dictating the game, so we'll have to get in his face. You know, Higuain, the Argentinian playmaker, the ageless Argentinian playmaker, I should say. You know, he's fun to watch, actually, even though he's on the other team. But he just gets the job done for them. So he's another guy that we can't give time and space because he can punish you. So, and then obviously they've got the national team striker, Giazzi Zardes, up top that he's been scoring goals for fun. So those are the key players that I would point out. And the biggest thing is just not giving these guys time and space to do what they can do.
Did you ever do that in your career, Carlos, just score goals for fun?
I didn't score goals for fun. Goals came a lot more difficult for me as a defender. But, yeah, so some guys just have that quality up top.
Yeah, hopefully Joseph does too. Hey, a lot of fans misunderstand with all of what you had to go through, and this is kind of the final question I have, you know, with the 7 games of 24 days and the international travel and whatnot, they go, oh, they get a break, you know, and then they get a week off before they have to play Columbus. But it wasn't really a week off. I mean, you had international play, and Joseph and Tito and Petey, and even Miles Robinson and Andrew Carlton. I mean, there was a lot of international play going on. So is it really next week where you finally get everybody together, you know, in Marietta at the training center, and you have a whole week between the Columbus and New England game where we'll finally be able to see this team start to, spend some time, quality time and quality practice? Is that fair?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, again, I don't want to use any excuses for the beginning of the season. It was a tough start for us. We knew that it was going to be a tough start with the amount of games that were coming so hot and heavy, so to speak, without a lot of rest. Then we picked up a few injuries, but that's part of it. And, you know, it was a big learning experience for the club, for the players. And so now hopefully we come out the other side and we're better for it. But getting into, you know, the final part of your question, yes. So, you know, next week we'll start to get in the rhythm of a, you know, one game per week, so to speak, and be able to have the build up the normal 4 or 5 day training week into the game on the weekend. It's all part of it. You have international breaks. You've got all kinds of different things, and it's nothing new for these guys. So it will be nice to have the games once a week, but then, you know, we'll throw some midweek games in there. We'll have a Gold Cup and Copa America break in the summer again. The Open Cup gets introduced as well in the summer. So, it's kind of year-round, and I don't think anybody's looking to kind of take their foot off the gas, but like I said earlier, I think mentally was a big help to have that break this last week, just to refresh for everybody.
Carlos, always a pleasure. We look forward to the match tomorrow night in Columbus. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.
Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United. Now, weighing in on the return of Franco Escobar, that is a huge win for this team. Is he going to be a pleasant sight back. And I hope the PD and Bello can get healthy in a hurry, because maybe then we can get to New England and we can finally have the 11 that I think Frank. I don't think we've actually put that. Matter of fact, I know we haven't put the 11 out there.
That you're going to roll out there. But it's right. Good that you're getting Franco Escobar back, man, especially with all these guys being a little banged up. You know, having somebody back that you can be excited about and just try to get it going. Because honestly, John, it's still a work in progress. Because like we talked about, you got guys hurt. You got guys that were in international play who really haven't had a chance to be with the club in a full-time basis where they can get acclimated to what Frank DeBoer is trying to do.
Yeah, and I think when Petey Martinez, when it all starts to click for him, that's going to be a good one. This is why I still remain bullish on Atlanta United. I still think that they have, we got 31 games to go in the regular season. You know, it may take, obviously, a little bit of time for all this to kind of click together, but when it does, I think Atlanta United is going to be not only a tough out, I still think they're going to be the team to beat. Because they are the defending champions for a reason. What's your weekend ahead? Yeah, what's the Braves weekend ahead? Both of those next with John and Hugh on the Morning Show this Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios on this Friday. I just checked our website, 929thegame.com, which, by the way, we put up for you to be able to weigh in a different way. I know that we've been taking your texts on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, your tweets on at 929 The Game, but now we put up our conversation. If you missed it earlier in the show on whether or not it's time to panic for the Braves after just one game, we put that up at 929thegame.com, and you can go in there and weigh in on that as well. And also just check my standing. I'm in 971st place. If you want to check where you are.
Congratulations.
I know.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's pretty
not,
good.
No, it's not.
Hey, it's better than me. Definitely better than me. So, I mean, hey.
Yeah. No, 971st place. And then I'm dead man walking because I had Tennessee in the title game. So I am done. I won't finish in the top 600. So that's okay. I want somebody to win $1,000 and have that Visa card, and that's going to be all good for them. So what's your weekend, Hugh? What do I have planned
for this weekend? I got nothing, John. I'm gonna try to hang out with the kid. I'm gonna try to get my son to drive, which probably is not
going
to happen.
I don't understand that. Little Hugh is a great little guy. I like it. Well, he's not little anymore, but he's a great guy. I don't get this. When I was 16, I couldn't wait.
He doesn't want to drive my truck.
On my 16th birthday, I went and got my license, okay, with my mom, and we drove the Pinto. I had an exploding Pinto, and we drove the exploding Pinto back, okay, to where we were. And my mom got out of the car. And back in those days, you didn't have to have somebody to drive with you. If you were 16, you got your license, you just go. And I couldn't wait. I pulled away in the car by myself, and it was like freedom.
Yeah. I remember I picked him up from school Wednesday and asked him, did he want to drive? He kind of looked at me like I had two heads. He was like, no. And it's funny because other kids' parents were picking them up, and they didn't even ask the kids. They just say, hey, mom, get out the front seat. The dad, get out the front seat. And they drove. He for whatever reason, does not want to drive my truck. So that's the issue. And I kept telling him, like, dude, you're probably going to have to learn on my truck because your mother's always busy and you're not going to be able to drive her car. So you're going to have to learn on mine. I guess it's going to take him a little while to wrap his mind around that concept. But yeah, that's what it is. This is how much he does not care to drive because he's used to being chauffeur. I still have his permit. Like, you know, you go there, you get the paper permit. I have it. I have his permit. He hasn't even picked up his permit yet. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things. He does not care about driving.
Okay. I mean, listen.
This is the Uber generation.
Okay. I guess it is. But still, I mean, one of the things I guess I just don't understand it only because I love to drive long distance. I miss driving across country. I've probably driven across this country literally in my life 25 or 30 times from coast to coast. I've driven New York to L.A. I've driven Denver to Atlanta. I've driven Atlanta to San Diego. I love long drives.
I like driving, too. But for him, that's not the case. He does not have that desire just yet. Now, that might change. But right now, nah, he's not trying to drive. Not at all.
Yeah, the freedom of the road and being able to go wherever you want.
Yeah.
Your own time.
You don't want none of that.
I love getting out of the
alley. You don't want
none of that. Just different people. Oh, hey, one story we didn't get to. Because you were mentioning it to me, because all I could think about when you mentioned this story was Joe Namath. Do you remember, what was that, 10, 15
Colbert.
Years ago?
Yeah, Susie Colbert. Yeah, he was a little tipsy.
And we love Joe, but.
He was a little tipsy, and we met him a couple times.
So what was his boxer story?
His name is Kubrat Pulev, and he's a Bulgarian boxer, and he kissed this reporter named Jenny Sushi. I think I'm saying her last name right, S-U-S-H-E. And he's on video, and he's doing an interview with her, and he grabs her by her head, and he kisses her in the mouth. And she reacts in the way that you would think that a reporter would react. She kind of went with it because she's on camera. She's a professional. But she's taking action about this now, John. She's gotten Gloria Allred. We all know who Gloria Allred is.
Oh, man, here we go.
And she is taking legal action against this Bulgarian boxer.
He probably shouldn't have done that.
Nah. And people, it was funny because you know how after you read the story, there's reactions to people online and saying what they said. And it was like, if they have history, then there's no story. I don't believe that to be the case. Now, number one, you don't put your hands on anybody, regardless of what the history is, if they don't want you to put your hands on.
Right.
And the way that he kissed her, like, again, she did not react in a way that you would think that was negative, but still, that was something that she did not, I would assume she did not want. She did not tell him that he could kiss her. And he grabbed her by her head and just firmly planted his lips on her mouth. So, yeah, I think he's going to get in trouble for this. He's going to have to break bread behind this one. Because you can't, I mean, I'm pretty sure.
He could say, you know, come to Bulgaria and get your money.
Nah, he can't do that. I mean, I think this happened on U.S. soil. And I think that he's definitely going to have to pay something. Because he did it forcibly. He grabbed her by her head and he kissed her kind of hard and she played it off, but yeah, it's not a good look.
No, I saw the video and I went, whoa, okay, all right.
Yeah, it's
not a good look.
Definitely not a good look. So he's probably going to be looking at, to make this go away, he's probably going to pay her some money.
Yeah.
Just can't be going around as much as you would like to. I don't care how many alcoholic beverages that you've had in you or what you've won, how many championships. If she doesn't want to be kissed, it probably shouldn't be kissing somebody in the mouth who does not want to be kissed.
Yeah, especially not like
And he was all, yeah, he looked all little beat up and stuff, and he kissing all in the mouth. So, yeah, he about to break some bread.
All right, here's our weekend. Hawks are taking on the Blazers tonight. State Farm Arena. Tickets available at Hawks.com. Pre-game at 7 o'clock. Tip at 7:30 tonight with Steve Holman on the call. The Hawks and Blazers. Hawks going for their fourth win in a row. Again, at State Farm Arena, tip at 7:30 and tickets available at Hawks.com. That means the Sweet 16 tonight games are going to be on our sister station, 1380 WAOK, and Westwood One is going to swing through all four of the Sweet 16 games beginning at 7 o'clock tonight on 1380 WAOK. Now, tomorrow, also, the Elite Eight will be on WAOK because of Atlanta United and the Columbus Crew. Here's Mike Conney and Jason Longshore. They will be in Ohio, pregame at 7 and kick at 7:30 for Atlanta United and the Columbus Crew. As for me, I'll be watching basketball tonight. I'll be watching basketball tomorrow. I'll also be watching Atlanta United.
No, you're going to the Gardens.
But
why are you playing? Yeah, you're going to the Gardens.
I'd almost have forgotten that. Thanks for reminding me. I got to go to Ball Ground. You know where Ball Ground is?
No, I haven't been.
Do you remember where Bo got married?
Yes.
Okay, that's what we're talking about. That's
near the Garden?
No, that's not the Garden. No, Gibbs Gardens is gigantic. No, I'm saying that up near there, that's Ball Ground. The area.
That was a nice little ride. Me and Daryl took that ride. It's a little different. It's a little different up that way. It's a little different than that part of Georgia.
Mm-hmm. And that's about where we're
a lot different. It's a lot different. It's nice, though. Very, very nice. Had a ball. Had a ball up that way at Bo's wedding. It was nice. Different. But nice.
Yeah, no, I love North Georgia. I love going up to the mountains. LAJ is a great town.
Yeah.
There's some great towns up there. I'm not a real Helen guy.
Helen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I'm not a, Helen gets, got old to me after the first time. No offense to all of you up in Helen. I just kind of, okay, been there, done that with the whole Alpine Village.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Never been to Helen?
No, I haven't been to Helen, but I've been like up in them Georgia mountains up that way. Me and Dale rode through there. We had an experience. It was nice.
Oh, there's some great wineries. Wolf Mountain, Montalus.
Yeah, it was different.
Wineries. Wolf Mountain's great. Montalus is great, too. Good food, good wine. Yeah, if you want a weekend trip, do the wineries up there, you know, all the way from.
Ride all the way up to the mountains to get drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Just the wineries drunk are in great. The mountains. All right.
They're really nice. No, seriously, they're very nice. They're every bit worthy of the wineries of California. I see a John Chuckery sighting.
All right. Oh, you know he about to go in on the break.
Yeah, Chuck and Andy, top of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.